morning and welcome to all, particularly all guests that are here today. Your presence is a blessing. As now all of us are together on this Gaudete Sunday, the traditionally referred to the third Sunday of Advent. Gaudete is the Latin word for rejoice. We hear that in the opening antiphon or introit for the Mass today, that the time of anticipating the Nativity of the Lord is near. And it's one of the reasons why now the vestments for the Mass today, instead of the purple, are now the rose or the pink-colored vestments, the third candles lit upon the Advent wreath. And also, again, a little extra today, our choir is wearing with the things with their choir robes, that pink or rose-colored, in honor of the late Ted Ernst, longtime member of our choir. So that we're reminded visually that our time of waiting is near an end, and that Christ is coming. Last Sunday, I announced to you the passing of longtime Madeline Pritchard Wayne Bagby Sr. His funeral mass will be this coming Tuesday at 11 here at the Madeline. Also, in addition to the bake sale we have for our youth that are going to the March for Life next month, we also have a baby photo contest. And different members of the parish staff and some other people there. If you want to guess who is who, you're welcome to do so afterwards. And also, we offer a prayer of thanksgiving today for Monsignor Dennis Dorney. He's celebrating his 50th anniversary of ordination this weekend, some special masses at St. Mary's. His first assignment as a newly ordained priest was here at the Madeline. And so you helped to shape his priestly heart to get him for the next 50 years. So we rejoice especially for that today. Please know we have the Advent Novena that began last night. The times are posted on the chapel door. We're going to offer the Novena right after this Mass. My thanks to the 9 families that have volunteered to do this. The Novena is fairly short, maybe about 10 minutes or so of extra prayer to praise the family. We have the little forms there, the little booklets that you can take home with you if you wish to pray these 9 nights leading up to the celebration of Christmas, because it will be as much of an Advent and a Christian celebration of Christmas as we choose to make it. We'll be offering at the end of this Mass the anointing of the sick, the sacrament of healing after the dismissal, and also the other sacrament of healing, the sacrament of reconciliation, is going to be offered every day this week. And the times for that are posted, the times of confession are posted on the doors of the church. This coming Wednesday for the Mass at 6 p.m., Bishop Condorla is going to be here with a number of our seminarians for dinner afterwards. And the bishop is bringing with him the relics of Blessed Father Stanley Rother. So they'll be here in the church for the first time. So a special blessing for us, these waning days of Advent. Please know that next Sunday in the morning, it's the fourth Sunday of Advent. In the evening, it's Christmas Eve. And as I said before, there's no 2-for-1 special. So we expect you to go to Mass either Saturday night or Sunday morning, and then for Christmas, either Sunday night or Monday morning. All the Mass times are posted around the church and the bulletin, social media. We have some wonderful music programs before each Mass on Sunday evening for Christmas Eve, and everybody is welcome. The Holy Spirit is stirring in many hearts right now, hearts of people who have no church home, hearts of people who have been away from church for a long time. And the Spirit leads them here on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. May they find a place of welcome. And part of that means to welcome them. And if you come to Mass on Christmas Eve and you go to your normal spot and somebody's sitting in it, well, God bless them. They, as my mom's people would say, God bless them. They just don't know no better. But they're guests. And the Holy Spirit may well have brought them here. So don't shoo them out. Welcome them. Don't make anybody climb over you either to find a spot. You know, let's make a home. Let's make a home for people, not just at Christmas either, but for many days to come. Some of you know the story of Edith Stein, also known as Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. She was born in Germany in 1891 into an observant Jewish family. By the time she was a teenager, however, she had become an atheist. She went off to university and studied philosophy and excelled at it. Not only got her degree in it, she got a doctorate in philosophy and became a professor of philosophy, which is a rare for a woman of her place and time to do so. And she studied philosophy, was drawn to that, not just because she wanted to live in the world of ideas rather than the world of people, that does sometimes happen, but rather she desired to know the truth. We all desire to know the truth. And there are many different pathways to know the truth. It's unfortunately a common misconception today that in that search for the truth, we've got religion over here and we've got science over here. Or we have faith over here, we've got reason over here. That is not a Catholic understanding of searching for the truth. The Catholic understanding is that both of them are together, faith and reason, religion and science, because there are a search for the truth, whether it's the science of physics, mathematics, astronomy, so on and so on. It's a search for the truth, and they're wonderful in telling us the how, the when, and the what of creation, how it happened, how long it took, and so on, where it happened. But they can't answer the question of why it happened. That's for philosophy and for theology, that search for the truth of the why of creation. And if we believe that all truth is from God, that God is truth, then the truth cannot contradict itself. So if we're looking at something through the lens of the truth in science, and it's contradicting something, the truth of faith, or the faith contradicting the truth of science, then, as Thomas Aquinas put it, then the truth cannot contradict itself, therefore we must be misunderstanding something. We don't fully understand the truth, so we need to step back and take another look. For the truth does not contradict itself. Edith Stein's desire for the truth is what led her to study philosophy as an atheist. But she needed to know that question of who am I? Why am I here? And I wouldn't say a chance encounter, it was a God thing, that she came across an autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila, a 16th century Spanish nun, reformer, and mystic. And Edith Stein read that autobiography in one night. And when she was done, at dawn, she simply said, "This is the truth." That desire to know the truth led her to read that book, also led her then to be baptized into the Catholic Church, and later to become a Carmelite nun, taking the name of Sister Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. She said later that my longing for the truth was a single prayer. Unfortunately, when the Nazis came to power in Germany, their demonic hatred, including for the Jews, was not limited to a small group. It included those Jews that had converted to Christianity. So in 1942, she was arrested and was promptly executed in the gas chambers of Auschwitz at the age of 50. Recognized as a martyr, she was canonized in 1998. But she said, "My longing for the truth was one single long prayer." Longing for the truth. I think it's one of the roles of Advent, is to renew in us that longing, to seek the answer to those questions of who am I? Why am I here? You know, when I say when we as the church, we pull out the purple vestments during Advent and Lent, means we're asking some deep questions. And even though the vestments today are rose or pink, if you wish, it's okay, I'll own it. I'm wearing pink today. I'm firm and I'm not threatened by wearing pink vestments twice a year. But still, the big questions are being asked. And I believe that much of the anger, the fear, the abuse, the despair, the confusion that's almost become a trademark of our culture today stems from our inability to answer those questions. In short, we don't know who we are. Because we don't know who we are. I think that leads into all the addictions. The drugs, the alcohol, the pornography, the unhealthy use and almost insatiable desire for technology. We search and we find the wrong answers. All those insatiable desires for power, pleasure, status, and wealth, they lead us to accepting a false identity to those questions, taking on believing in a false answer of who am I, why am I here? And Advent calls us to desire to learn the truth, to discard the false identity, to see the longing for the truth as a single prayer. You know, today we hear again from John the Baptist. And he's asked directly that question of who are you? And look how he answers. He first answers in the negative. He basically states who he isn't. He says, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the anointed one. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the prophet Elijah. I'm not a prophet, period. Then he answers in the affirmative. He says, I'm the voice crying out in the desert to those longing for the truth, to prepare to receive the truth. As the prophet Isaiah tells us, to proclaim the good news to the poor, healing to the brokenhearted, liberty to those in prison, and vindication by our God. To prepare those longing for the truth to receive the truth. Now, truth has a name. Jesus. And for which John is not worthy to untie his sandals. You see, John knows who he is. And that's why he's the voice. And our longing for the truth. We're asked those same questions, and we can answer in the negative. We know maybe who we are not, and that's a fine place to start, but it's not going to be enough. That we must come to know who we are. And Advent reminds us of who we are as disciples, who we are as the church. That we proclaim Jesus as Lord, that we've given the light of faith, we are renewed in our birth, rebirth, and baptism. We're fed with the food of angels in the Eucharist. Advent challenges us to know who we are, especially when we have forgotten, when we have become confused, when we have rebelled against it, when we've denied who we are, when we've bought into that false identity. You know, Advent happens every year. It's not just a one and done. That's for a reason. Every year, we are called to prepare our hearts to welcome Christ. That incarnate Word, the incarnation, God the Son, entering into our physical reality to redeem us for God, to deepen our desire for holiness, our desire to be disciples, our longing for heaven, our longing to become saints. This is the truth that Advent calls us to. All of our longing for the truth is a continual single prayer. It's the life of faith. You know, St. Paul tells us today, and he writes to the church in Thessalonica, and in his letters in the New Testament, probably the earliest Christian writings that we have. They predate the Gospels by, in some cases, decades. And Paul is telling those Christians there to pray without ceasing. Now, we think of people who pray all the time, pray without ceasing. Probably it comes to most of us an image of a monk or a nun kneeling down in a chapel before an altar. And that's fine. But you know, I know lots of monks. I lived and studied with monks for 6 years in the seminary. Two different places, by the way. And they pray a whole lot, that's for sure. And they ring the bells every time they have to go pray. Even when it's dark outside. But I know them well enough, they don't pray all the time. Somebody, you know, has to mop the floor. They do sleep. Somebody's got to do the dishes. So perhaps what Paul is telling us about to pray without ceasing is that continual single prayer, that longing for the truth. He tells us then to test everything. Retain what is good. Refrain from every kind of evil. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, and to rejoice always. This is our identity. This is who we are. And we're to rejoice. And we do so regardless of circumstances, Paul says. Doesn't matter if we're rich or poor, healthy or sick, young or old. We have that continual desire for the truth who is Jesus Christ. And the powers of this world, they can't control that truth, as hard as they try. that holy longing that calls us to rejoice. We also hear that today in a responsorial psalm. And by the way, the responsorial psalm today is not from the book of Psalms. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. It is Mary's prayer of thanksgiving, called the Magnificat. It's when she's pregnant with Jesus, she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, and they have this exchange, the two women back and forth. And Mary's ultimate response is this great prayer of rejoicing. That we as the church, if you pray the Liturgy of the Hours, we pray this every evening for a reason. Mary rejoices in God, our Savior. She rejoices in mercy, in the hunger that in us that is fulfilled, and not just for food, but that hunger for the truth. It's Edith Stein's hunger. It's our hunger. And it's fulfilled in the promise of mercy, perfecting our desire for holiness, our longing for the truth. Mary's rejoicing is to be our rejoicing. So as we rejoice in our desire, our longing, may our hearts be thus prepared for the truth.